promises of God, my Savior, stand and place, stand and place. Are we okay to go? Okay. Good morning. By God's living word, we shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Hearty welcome. It's a blessing to be here this morning to see your faces. Those of you that have connected via live stream, may the Lord's blessings be with you as well. I greet you with the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to thank you, the worship team, for serving us this morning with the message that I trust that we can build on, that we can go by, that we can live by. And it ministers to our hearts as we prepare ourselves to hear what God wants to speak to us this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, we thank you. You look down upon us, and Lord, you see who we are, you see where we are, you see our hearts, and you know the intent of them. And Lord, we are so grateful to be in your presence. And Father, this morning as we have gathered, help us, Lord, to count it a blessing, a privilege. And Lord, we pray that we would certainly acknowledge your promises in everything. Lord, we invite you this morning to be part of this service. We pray for the leading of your Spirit as we have gathered as brothers and sisters and children, heirs of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to receive your word with grace in our hearts, and so that it may draw us closer to you in this time of grace that you have extended to us. Unworthy as we feel, yet, Lord, it is through the blood of Christ that has made us worthy. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, for our nation as it is around the world, is facing difficult circumstances. Pray, Lord, for our leaders. They may make choices that will result in blessing. Father, we know that sometimes we just can't do the right thing in everybody's eyes, but shouldn't concern us, but if we do the right thing in your eyes. Father, we ask your blessing upon this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as the message in the song spoke to us this morning, especially the one song that really brought out grace. And that is the theme of this message this morning that I want to speak on. As I've been pondering, Brother Cal asked me if I was willing to do the service this morning. And I've been pondering and, you know, what the Lord wanted to speak to us. And when I think about grace, grace really involves our whole being. And so our whole being revolves around grace. And so we want to read out of Romans chapter 12 this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul gives us some practical applications, or fundamentals, if you will, or operating principles that a people of faith need to live by. And so the question is, as recipients of God's grace, how does that translate to our service to God and to others? We know that when we talk about grace, or we sing about grace, grace always points to the cross of Jesus. And here in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, It says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith." We see here that Paul brings out some very important characteristics, and he talks about grace, he talks about humility, about being sober, or we might say of being of a clear mind, and then he talks about a measure of faith. When we put these instructions together, we have a beautiful picture of what the church should look like. And then in verse 4, he goes on and he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have this not the same office." And so he is talking about unity here. And then he goes on, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member one of another." Everyone members one of another. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." And I've underlined that part in my Bible. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." According to the proportion of faith. And then he goes on to say, "On our ministry, let us wait on ministry." And so he brings out another very important characteristic in the service of God. He talks about patience. He says, "Wait." "Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And here again he brings out lowliness, meekness. "He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness." Paul is teaching us that it is of utmost importance that we integrate these fundamentals and understand that it is only God's grace that makes us sufficient for every good thing. When we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, this is what Paul is saying, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Again, Paul is drawing out that important message for us to understand. He says, God is able. And that kind of puts us, the person itself, out of the picture, because it's God who is doing the work. And so salvation ought to be the foundation of our service to God. And we'll understand that when we go a little further and understand that there is nothing that we have to offer if we have not received that gift of God. The gift of salvation. We are to think that we can serve him, not having received that measure of faith through grace. And so it is important that we understand, when we study what grace means, it kind of takes us out of the picture and it puts Christ in place. Service to God. In John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "And of his fullness," talks about Christ, "and of his fullness have all we received." And then he goes on to say, "And grace for grace." "Of his fullness," of God's fullness, "have all we received through Christ, and grace for grace." And so we see that it is important that we understand that growing in the grace is a lifelong process that needs nurturing. Or we might say, we need to keep the flame burning. We need to apply ourselves. It doesn't just come, and God does gift us. He does. That's His grace. But we can't sit back and just allow that to and hope it will happen. We need to personally apply ourselves. And sometimes it is painful to do that because we allow God's word to cleanse us, to wash us. And I thought of it this morning. It is like the dross that is separated from the silver when the silver is put through the fire. And it is cleansed. And that's what happens when God's word enters our heart and it changes us. And we are gifted with the gift of salvation through grace. Because grace always points to the cross. And so when we know what it is like when we don't kindle a fire, when we don't put more wood on the fire simply goes out. And so it is in the spiritual aspect of life, in the spiritual realm of life, that we need to put a little wood on the fire, continue to put a little wood on the fire, to help us understand that we need to get into God's word and allow God's word to do a work in our lives so that that grace can be extended and that our measure of faith will increase. Then we go back to Romans 12. And then he talks about, in verse 3, he talks about humility. Humility is of great importance when we think about serving God. And it says not to think of us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Friends, this is of great danger when we think about serving God. Great danger in the church. And it hasn't just come up now. Pride is what got us into this mess. It was the pride of the enemy who exalted himself over God, the creator of all things. And it got us into this mess. But by the grace of God, we have been relieved of that and through the blood of Christ. And so we see that grace always points to the cross. Through the blood of Christ, he put our feet on higher ground. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than ourselves. We find here that this totally goes against our nature. It goes against who we are. By nature. Because it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And this is a very important point that Paul is bringing out. Being concerned about other people, not having our eyes focused on self, but on others. I sometimes try to imagine what the church would be like if we would all do that. We wouldn't be fighting within ourselves. It just wouldn't happen because the enemy has no room. there would be a unity of the Spirit, there would be understanding of God's word, there would be wisdom. And when we are concerned about other people rather than ourselves, other focus instead of self-focus, it changes the whole picture. And that's what Paul is trying to bring out. The importance of seeing others better than ourselves, being concerned about others rather than ourselves. And then it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. Shows us a picture of grace, shows us a picture of submission to the Father. And friends, that's where the blessing is in. That's where the blessing is in. When we submit to the Father, the sufficiency of our own wisdom will always fail us. And our motives as to why we serve must be driven by His grace. A part of all that, we will get weary in well-doing because there is no blessing in it. And in verse 13 it says, or I should say there is no lasting blessing in it. In verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2 it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, when we get that registered, when we get that straight, that it is God that worketh in us, it'll change the way. It'll change the way we approach other people. It will change the way we converse with other people. It will change the way the church very often is. Because it says, for it is God which is worketh in you both the will and to do. Both the will and to do. And so that takes us out of the picture. The importance that Paul is drawing out, what we need to understand, it is through His grace that He extends to us that we can accomplish the things that God requires of us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, having predestinate us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to Himself according to His good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accept in the Beloved. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace that extends to us the will and the ability to serve Him. And we go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 16, and it says, be ye of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. As servants of God, God has gifted us. The moment we received Him in our hearts as our Lord and Savior, as King of our hearts, we have a gift. And He wants us to use that gift. And He also goes on in verse 3 and He talks about the measure of faith. I want to touch on that a little bit this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So Paul is saying we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so how do we use that? How do we use that grace that God extends to us? Because He says we are stewards of it. And then in verse 11 He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. I've underlined some of these things in my Bible just to help us understand, to help me understand that it is God who gives us the ability to do the work that he's called us to do. And that's what he says, do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I trust this morning that we are servants of God. And I truly believe that it is always our desire to bring honor and glory to the holy God we serve, the one who has redeemed us and who has brought us life, and that we might have it complete. And then it says, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, according to the proportion of faith. According to the proportion of faith. You know, and we think about that sometimes, and we wonder, why is there such a difference in the faith? Why does one person have more faith than others? I want to encourage us, friends, it's a journey that we're on. And that journey of faith will not be complete until we see Jesus face to face. And so God has gifted us. And it's not just something that we attain and we plateau out on and that's where we stay. But we grow in the grace and we grow in the faith. And we have been given different gifts. And the Apostle Peter is trying to bring out some very important points where he has some concern about. And he's trying, that is, first of all, the first one we might say is a danger, that we try to exercise a gift that we have never been given. Have you thought about that? Trying to be someone else. I think I can say that we have all different gifts, don't we? Scripture teaches us that we have different gifts. And so it is important that I know and understand how God has created me and that I know who I am and that I realize the gift that he has given me is the gift that he wants me to use. He is not asking me to use the gift that he has given you. And so that is a danger that the Apostle Peter is drawing out here. And he's concerned about that. Or I should say the Apostle Paul, sorry. That we not try to be somebody else, just simply be ourselves. And use the gift that God has given us. But he also brings out a danger is not using the gift that God has given us. Sitting idle. You see, before we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, those gifts that God has given us, they are a mystery in our heart. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy is encouraging young Timothy to stir up the gift. Let us just go there for a bit. 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, where Paul reminds Timothy of his responsibility, and he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. In other words, I'm praying for you, Timothy. I want you to understand, I'm thinking of you, that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And here I want us to just take note of this. He says, but according to his purpose, his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has gifted us, and that gift is hidden in our being, in our hearts. But he's telling Timothy, hey, Timothy, stir it up. Stir it up. Let it live. And it'll make a difference by the grace of God. And it is a measure of faith continues to grow when we do that. And as it is in life, we don't just start off and we have it all figured out. It's a process that takes place and it takes time. And Paul brings out and he says, wait. Wait on ministry. And so when we are not ready, let us come before Almighty God and just allow him to speak to our hearts and to draw us closer to him. It is important that we are aware of our strength and our weaknesses. And I believe that I can say that we all have those. We all have strength in our lives. We all have weaknesses. And I just want to use an illustration. Being a sensitive person can be a very good, great strength. But if we become easily hurt, it becomes a weakness. And so we need to understand how that works in our spiritual realm as well. Paul came to the point in his life, he said, when I am weak, I am strong. And so in other words, what he meant there is when I back off, God can use me. And that is what that's what God wants. He wants to do a work through us. It's not us through him, but him through us. And so we see the important tool that we are in his ministry. And I want to encourage us with that. Serving God through the grace that he extends to us is a mindset. It's an attitude. It's what I choose to do because of the grace that he extended to me. Then I realize that because God rescued me from a life of sin and selfishness, that I am not my own. I don't take ownership, but I am owned by God. We belong to him. And so that grace should bring us to desire to serve him. And we need to know that there is a cost involved. And are we willing? Have we counted the cost? As I was preparing for this message this morning, I read an article of a pastor who had spent some time trying to persuade a lady to teach Sunday school. And she said, it just seems so inconvenient for me. It so ties me down. And the pastor had said, well, Christ hung on that cross and he died for you and for me. He hung there for 6 hours. And an hour and a half and two will tie you down too much a week. Friends, when we are in the service of Almighty God, that ought to be our motive for serving him. And it's going to cost us more than an hour a week or two. And I want to encourage us, let's count the cost. Because there is a lasting blessing in it if we do it from the depth of a heart with the right motives in mind. And always consider that Christ hung on that cross and died, gave up, made that sacrifice. And it points, that's where grace points to. First of all, God Almighty made the sacrifice, and then Christ shed his blood. Is it worth it? Absolutely it is. I want to encourage us, when you serve, do it with the right motive, because God is able. You and I am. We can't do it. God. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, in closing this morning's message, we thank you. You have given us some very direct principles that we can live by, that we need to serve by, that our motives would be not about us, but to bring honor and glory to your holy name. And Lord, we know that it is only then when there is a lasting blessing that is resting upon your people, upon us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. May the few words that have been spoken this morning bring honor and glory to you, Lord, and just draw us closer in this wonderful time of grace that you have extended to us, so that we might be an outreach to those around us. May our lives reflect Jesus Christ. May our motives be to serve and not be concerned about inconvenience. Or that it takes too much time. But Father, we thank you. May your name be glorified. May your spirit continue to lead and guide us. And Lord, may we surrender our hearts and our lives to you completely in the service that you've given us with the measure of faith that you've given us. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time. We ask your blessing upon this day. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, be with you. And I want to just remind us today that today is Valentine's Day, a day where we consider what God's love is in the Christian realm, loving others as we love ourselves. Let's remember that. When we think about Valentine's Day, we think about God's love. We think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And we know it's a beautiful thing, yet the world has made a mockery of it. And let's let our lights shine. Let's be true to Almighty God. I'm going to leave you with a blessing out of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The ushers, please come forward.